Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, let's go. We're back, Play Tessie. This is episode 287. Sammy's here, Pat's here, Gordo's here. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars, leave a comment. Remember to follow us on all the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And the way we're going to start this, all right, we're going to get into a lot of stuff. We're talking about the bats, talking about the free agents, talking about trades. Like, we're going to talk about it all. But first, is Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien a big trade? Yes.
Okay, so let me give the background. So earlier today, it's Sunday, November 23rd. I am minding my own business. Just got home from watching the Patriots game with my friends. Great time, great day. And then I see a text from Pat, something like, oh my God, or let's go, baby, in all caps, in my heart again.
Hold on. Pause.
No.
Pause.
Whoa,
don't say he
whoa.
Said let's go. He didn't say
I
let's
said,
go.
Whoa. Big trade. That's
okay.
What I said.
Same
hold
vibe.
On. We'll find the trade. Trade. No, he said all caps, hell yeah, trades.
Okay.
Yes.
Hell yeah, trades.
What?
Hold on. I need the floor. He says, hell yeah, trades in all caps. So I'm like, oh my God, what happened? Red Sox, what did they do? We're all Red Sox fans, so surely Pat is talking about the Red Sox. He's definitely not talking about a salary dump between the Rangers and the friggin' Mets. It's Brandon Nimmo, who stinks now, for Marcus Semien, who's okay now. And that was the all caps text. This is the second time that I've had to reprimand Pat for his use of all caps. What was the first one?
Yeah, Gordo? I was going to ask. What was the first one? Pat, do you remember?
The fact that we don't remember proves my point.
Naylor? Naylor, maybe?
No,
that was last week.
The point is,
I'll find it.
It doesn't matter. All caps text in the group chat in the off season. Either you got to be in dire trouble and you need someone to help you, or there's got to be something relating to the Red Sox or directly affecting the Red Sox. The other one, Pat, was Woodruff. Was Woodruff taking the qualifying offer?
Oh, yeah. I said, whoa. That was the comment. But that was the text. Whoa.
But then moments later, he said the same thing about Grisham getting the QO. Yeah. So it was two back-to-back QOs in all.
My point is,
both of those were surprising.
Okay, I'll put a bow on this. They were surprising, sure. But all caps in the group chat is reserved for one, oh my God, I'm in trouble, I'm in danger, I need help, or two, holy crap, this is a big move that the Red Sox made or directly affects the Red Sox. Not Brandon Woodruff, where it might increase the chances of Freddy Peralta. It's got to be legit, so super mad at Pat.
Okay, wait, can I, okay.
Yeah,
so
you go ahead.
I have the text, the Woodruff one was within the same minute. Both were sent at 3:47. Oh baby, Woodruff accepted the QO. Two separate texts within the same minute. All so caps. Your mind couldn't have wandered that much within 15 seconds.
No.
Then
it was
tonight,
just the one.
So then the other one is tonight. I would say that's like a good kickoff trade. This isn't Jonathan India for Brady Singer. Like, those are two guys making a good chunk of change, and there's like benefit on both sides with between two what between what should be two competitive teams. So for me, that's like, oh shit, like the league is starting to move a little bit. This is exciting. That's what that means to me. This isn't like they swapped salaries. It was a one-for-one trade. There was money going back one way. I get that. But it's also not like a complete wash of a trade just taking dead money. Like, there's value on both sides for that. Also,
no, it's big.
I'm not defending Brandon
Nimmo.
It's
a big trade.
I'm not defending Brandon Nimmo. 25 home runs and 90 ribbies is not bum numbers. Marcus Semien in 127 games was almost a 4-WAR player. That's not a bum player.
I think Nimmo's the better player. But he also has 5 years left on that. It's a bad contract.
Yeah. Like, they're both bad contracts.
To get off of that.
Yeah.
32 years old, 5 years to go.
My point is, yeah, it's a move. It's significant, but that's not an all caps text caliber move unless you're a Rangers or Mets fan. It's not. No.
Okay. So my question for you, Sammy, here, what is like the bare minimum of a move that doesn't involve? Okay, actually. If Pat had heard about the Bernardino trade first, is that an all caps text worthy trade because it's a Red Sox player?
Because it's a Red Sox player that we have a relationship with, yeah. But if we didn't know Brendan Bernardino, it would be kind of like, I don't know, if it involves the Red Sox, I don't mind if you do all caps pretty much ever if it involves the Red Sox. But for it to not involve the Red Sox, it's got to be earth shattering for me to be.
You better pray the Red Sox don't take anybody in the Rule 5 draft. You better pray on it, pal.
Well, caps. I get fired up when the Red Sox sign a depth reliever. Like, that's
so, hold
it's
on.
The team that I root for.
Hold on. Depth reliever is worthy of – Justin Wilson signing last year is worthy of all caps, but Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien is not.
No, not when you lay it out like that, no. I just don't mind – like, if you do all caps to alert me to the Red Sox making any sort of move, I'm not going to mind. I'll be like, whoa, that got my attention. Great. Now I know. Thank you.
So let me ask you this. Let's say tomorrow the Mets sign Cody Bellinger. No caps because it's
– that's where I was going. Yeah.
Well, see, that one's funny because if the Mets sign Juan Soto and then sign his replacement, that is so funny. So, yeah, you could do all that. And that's also a huge free agent.
What if the trade had been for Corey Seager instead of Marcus Semien?
Oh, all caps. That's one of the best. That's a MVP.
So, but it's the same kind of trade between the same two teams.
No.
Corey Seager's a better player, but it's the same kind of trade.
Exactly. So, way better player.
So where's the borderline? What the line between Marcus Semien and Corey Seager? There is a line somewhere in there. Where is that?
I'll lay it out. It has to either A, involve the Red Sox, B, I guess you could throw the Yankees in there, or a divisional opponent that the Red Sox are going to see a lot. C, it has to involve a superstar player. Not a guy who was a superstar a few years ago and has still got a little bit left in the tank, like Nimmo and Semien. It's got to be a friggin' Corey Seager type who had a 6-WAR season despite the injuries. Something like that. That's all cap. That's fine. You can write all cap. You can call me if you want. You can send a carrier pigeon with an all caps message. I won't even mind. Gordo?
Taylor Ward for Grayson Rodriguez. I forget how we broke that to each other. But
oh,
Taylor
I
Ward
did.
Topped,
I did. That did was all caps, too. That was all caps. Yes.
I don't think Sammy was mad about it, but Taylor Ward,
no,
he
I think
hit 30
I,
home I, runs.
Yeah,
gotta,
I think I saw,
check
I think
our
I saw
seats.
It.
Yeah, I'm gonna need some instructions written down. Oh. I need a war cutoff that warrants.
Okay. So wait, for that one,
I found the problem. The problem here is that Sammy needs to know about the news first. If he knows about the news first, he doesn't care if you all caps it. But if he doesn't know about the news yet and you all caps it, he thinks that the Red Sox signed Pete Alonso or something.
Right. So, right, because it shocks my system. I don't like my system being shocked if it's not worth it. And Pat zapped me and I fumble my phone around. I'm like, oh my God, what did I miss? What did I miss? Marcus Semien and Brandon Nimmo? Who cares?
The big trade.
So I think so. What I'm getting here is that my all caps text about Joel Piamps on a 1-year, $1.5 million deal to the Braves was not good.
No, you're the boy who cried wolf now with the all caps. I won't fall for it anymore. You know what you should have done with the Semien Nimmo one? You should have done lowercase, but like, wow, with 17 O's and 18 W's. And I've been like, oh, something must have happened. Pat's excited, but it's not dire. Let's see.
What I should have done was sent it all caps text when we released Yasmani Grandal today.
Okay, no, yeah. Here's what you should do. You should send an all caps text, but you should send it with the invisible ink.
Okay, then I got to do work, though.
No, I'm not going to. I was going to say, I might just start fucking around and just,
the floodgates are opened.
Pete Alonso to the Sox. Right now.
We're going to find the borderline.
Pete Alonso to the Sox, and it's like not even done. Just a
that would be shock funny. Assist.
Red Sox signing, all lowercase.
Yeah, that's what we should do. Like Red Sox trade for Fernando Tatis. We just write in our group chat. Hey, wow. Fernando Tatis' son just got traded to the Red Sox. His name's also Fernando. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Some girl from Quincy's boyfriend just signed with the Red Sox.
So, okay. Quincy. Question for you guys. So first off, I have a friend who's a Mets fan, and he's convinced that this means that they're not bringing back Alonso. I don't see how it connects. But what I do connect it to is that now they had a need for a center fielder before, but now they definitely have a need for an outfielder. Have we not talked enough about the Mets as a possible trade partner for the Sox for an outfielder? Like, I don't see them trading one of their three stud upcoming prospect starters for Duran. But I mean, they have a really good farm system. I mean, it's not going to be the trade where it's like, oh, you trade Duran and you get your number two, unless you think of Kodai Senga as a number two. And if they trade Duran for Senga, I'd be not happy about that. But if it's a situation where like you've traded your farm to get a bat or a number two or whatever, and now you use Duran to backfill and you trade him to the Mets, they've got a good farm system. Like, and they need a center fielder, and now they have an opportunity to add a left-handed bat because they traded Nimmo, a lefty, for Simeon, a righty.
Yeah. I could see this being a little bit of an impactful move for the Red Sox, and now they have another suitor in the Mets for one of the surplus of outfielders that the Red Sox have. I'm trying to think if there's – in the Mets system, they do have a good system. I can't see them parting with any of their top pitching prospects for Duran. Mm-mm. And there's no shot they give the Red Sox Jet Williams.
No.
So I guess Carson, this name, Benj. But that's another outfielder. So do you even want that? That's another trade the Red Sox will have to make. And you already got Password waiting in AAA. So I think the fit for Duran on the Mets makes sense. But do the Mets and the Red Sox make sense as trade partners? I'm not 100% sold yet.
My thought is I think that they'd be more likely to part with Jet Williams than Carson Benj. I think Benj
Williams
is the real deal. I don't know about Jet.
Oh, no shot. No, I no think shot. Jet's so good.
No shot.
Jet's going to be good. Don't get me wrong. But I think Benj is the better prospect. Go look at his numbers from last year. He ripped it up.
My thing with there's an obvious fit for an outfielder for the Mets. My thing is I think there's so many options for them on the table. I don't think it's going to be Kyle Tucker, but it could be Kyle Tucker. But you have Bellinger, Tucker, you have Adolis Garcia, who I think is interesting for them. Harrison Bader makes a little bit of sense for them. And then you also have guys on the trade market like Luis Robert, those kinds of guys.
Yeah.
I don't think Duran would be the top of their list or even best fit of those guys. I don't think it's off the table, but if I'm them, like I'm going to Bellinger. I'm throwing a little bit of cash at Harrison Bader. I'm seeing what the White Sox want for Luis Robert. I think that's the route they'll probably go, if I had to guess.
I mean, if I'm a Mets fan, Pat, you're probably right. But if I were a Mets fan, I would be absolutely sick hearing that. You have Steve Cohen, who's been touting this money for friggin' ever, signs Juan Soto, and I feel like that's basically it. Like, who are the other big deals he's pulled
Lindor
off? Like, we keep talking about this guy. That's like two deals in how many years? Why is he not? Why is Clay Holmes your number two starter last year? Why is Senga your opening day? I don't know. I don't get it. I think they're really weird, and you're probably right, Pat. Adolis Garcia, this rich owner, is going to take a chance on a guy who was just dropped into the scrap heap by the Texas Rangers, or Harrison Bader, who's good, but come on, what are we doing?
My thing with them, though, is that rotation is so ass that, like, you got to not cut corners, because it's not like Harrison Bader is some bum. But like, there has to be some form of like efficiency in spending. I think they go all out and get like two starters to go with the three young guys. Which, I mean, we'll see how that works. But the other thing is, like, I don't know. Was it his first year? Talk about Cohen. Was it Cohen's first year where they spent the weirdest money? Like Eduardo Escobar, Starling Marte,
Nimmo. That was so strange. That was when, who was their GM? It was not Sterling back
Epler.
Then.
It was Billy Epler.
It was Epler.
So that's it, basically. That's so Nimmo, Lindor, Soto. That's DS. Three guys. A closer? Sure.
$100 million, though.
He's always come after years. Steve Cohen, but he's been top two in payroll like every year.
Yeah.
They suck at it.
Ton of money.
Look at that rotation. You're top two in payroll they're Clay Holmes.
They're building up from the bottom up. Look at what they've developed, though. They've got three up-and-coming studs, and they're probably going to add to it. Like, they're about to fix it.
You also can't say that it's...
You've been saying, like, oh, they're going to do X, Y, and Z since we started this podcast. They've barely done shit. I don't understand them. You should be right, Gordo. It would make sense for you to be right. They just haven't done it.
This was the argument that you used last year about why they weren't going to be the top bidder for Soto, and then they were the top bidder for Soto.
Yeah, yeah. They got Soto. That was... Congrats, but that's it. It's like Lindor, and then
they got Alonso on a steal.
Why do you stop there? Why do you have to get Alonso on a steal? I don't get it.
I wouldn't even say pitfall. I just think that those are two different arguments. The not spending. I think the rotation is a matter of poor spending. He's spending. He's top two in payroll. Like he's living up to the hype of an owner who spends his billions of dollars. The downfall to that is that he's just not spending it well or in the right areas. That's what the real issue there is.
You know what I think they could do here? And this could be potentially an argument for why this could tie back to Alonso. But the fact that they've kind of opened up the pathway that they definitely didn't have before, like that's a lefty heavy lineup. They've opened up the pathway by swapping Nimmo for Semien to bring in a left-handed hitting outfielder in a way in which they didn't have before. And maybe, I mean, you would hear John Heyman connecting the Mets to Cody Bellinger all offseason. And every single time he did it, I would see Mets fans comments saying that, well, we can't bring in a lefty outfielder. He'd be a great fit, improve the defense while not sacrificing offense, be taking another guy from the Yankees would be a good fit. Now I could actually see that. But do I think that the Mets would sign Bellinger and Pete Alonso? Probably not. Like, I don't think the Mets can afford to have Bellinger, Soto, and not money-wise, Sammy.
Roster-wise,
yeah. I do not think they can afford to have Bellinger, Alonso, and Soto long-term because they're going to need one of those guys to be their DH long-term and one of those guys to be first base long-term if they're all under contract half a decade into the future.
But so, you're made of
in
money.
The end,
you're
it could lead to Alonso potentially being let go, is what I'm saying.
But that's the crazy thing to me. So we'd never talk about the Dodgers like this. Steve Cohen, he's touting his money all the time, and we're talking about like they can't do all these long term deals. He's not going to do it. And then last year signs Juan Soto. I'm like, oh, Gordo, you were right. There he goes. The Mets are going to start spending, and then they're like, eh, that's it.
Top two payroll.
But why stop?
Every year
you miss the playoffs. You suck. They did suck.
They spent terribly. They sucked. It was bad. That's why they have to trade a Nimmo. That's why they're going to trade Jeff McNeil. That's why they're going to trade Kodai Senga. Because their money is spent terribly. They have to reallocate it.
That's not on Cohen. That's on Billy Epler and David Stearns.
Like David Stearns, that's another one. That's another one. Everyone's crowning this guy, this incredible GM. What the fuck was that rotation that you put out there
fair.
In 2025?
That's
Come
fair.
On, man. I don't like when guys get crowned before they do something. That's why when you were saying they're going to sign Soto, I was like, all right, wait and see. When he does, I'll give him credit. Then he signed Soto. I'm like, all right, you know what? You're right. They got Soto.
But you're still
and then
not
they
giving
stopped.
Him credit. You're saying they don't spend.
Because they stopped.
They have the top two payroll. Look how much higher their payroll is than the Red Sox. It's like double.
So why not spend more? You missed the playoffs. Who cares?
Everyone else should spend more. Don't come after the top spenders for not spending. You're going to spend infinity.
No, I'm coming after them because they spent poorly. They talk about how much money they have, and they're like, all right, well, we're second in payroll. And it's like, well, your team is terrible. You have Clay Holmes as your number two starter. Kodai Senga is your quote-unquote ace, and you're going to stop now? I thought you were infinite money. You can't just say, well, we're second payroll, so we're going to stop. Who cares? You suck.
I agree. Don't crown David Stearns until he shows that he can build. Like he put his foot down. He's going to build out this pitching pipeline the way he best sees fit. Like I'm sure Steve Cohen probably wanted to sign a guy like Corbin Burnes last year, and they didn't do it. But you better get it right. You're right on that, Sammy. Like David Stearns, you did it in Milwaukee, you did it in a small market. Congrats to that. But as we saw with Chaim Bloom in Boston, doing it in a small market and doing it in a place like Boston is not the same. So you're right. David Stearns should not be crowned. And I think Mets fans are frustrated because of how it went. But I mean, that team spends
Mets
money.
Fan, if I were a Mets fan, I would not get 1 second of sleep any night of my life. Because imagine, think about what you were sold as a fan, Steve Cohen. He's like, I'm a fan of the team. I'm going to spend all the money. And he does it. And then the product is just garbage. I saw the other day, Major League Baseball put out a tweet. What was the best moment of your season for your respective team? And this big Mets account goes, this right here. And it was Lindor grounding out to end the season. Like, what are we doing? These guys are a joke. So the Mets frustrate me. I don't dislike them. I kind of like the Mets, actually. I feel for them. We're kind of, you know, Red Sox don't like the Yankees. Mets don't like the Yankees. They're, you know, historically the teams that have gotten beat up by the Yankees. So we're kind of friends because of that. But, man, I don't like the way Steve Cohen gets all this credit for spending money on crap. It's like if I spent $1,000 on gumballs and I was like, boys, just dropped a grand on gumballs.
No. It's like if you paid someone to manage your money and they decided that the best investment would be gumballs, don't blame you. Blame the dude managing your money. And if he's doing a bad job, fire the guy.
So
but maybe there's some
George
promise.
Steinbrenner was good at this.
Maybe could lead to something. These gumballs, dude.
George Steinbrenner was good for this. Like if his GM said, I'm going to buy a bunch of gumballs, he would say, no, go out there and go get this really good pick. Like Max Fried would have been the example last year. Go get Max Fried. And then David Stearns would have been like, well, I don't think financially that's a good fit for our model. And then Steinbrenner would have said, shut up, nerd. Go get me Max Fried. And then Max Fried, top five Cy Young Award winner. There you go.
So, okay. Instead of going after Steve Cohen, who has the Mets in the gazillionth percent, in the second in payroll in baseball, we haven't talked enough. I actually don't know if we've talked at all. I forget if this quote, I think it came out after this. Spear wrote the thing in his column, which kind of left it, maybe the Red Sox would pay to, I don't know. They're going to up payroll, but maybe they only spent on one bat. And then he was pretty explicit on their podcast on 310 to Left that, yeah, like he only sees the Red Sox spending on one big bat instead of two. Like these, we are in different worlds of problems here. Like second in payroll for the Mets, Red Sox have an obvious need to replace Rafael Devers, the big salary they just traded away. And we're getting word that they're only going to sign one major bat. And the one major bat that they are going to sign could possibly just be the guy that was on the team last year, in which case the only addition they're making is like a Jorge Polanco type. So that's where, like, if I'm going to get mad at someone for spending, that's where my head is. It's like, you've got an obvious window of contention here. And, you know, maybe there's some haziness as to like, oh, well, they're going to spend on a big bat and they're going to spend on a big free agent starter. So that's why they're not going to spend on a second bat. I don't know if I got that. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of, the vibe I got was it's going to be either Bregman or Alonso and then a secondary type like Jorge Polanco or maybe Kazuma Okamoto. But before we get into that, first, I don't like when people just over and over call the Red Sox ownership cheap. They don't spend. Like, we all know. We all know they should be spending more. We get it. Like, we could talk about this till we're blue in the face. We all hate it. We all think it's stupid. My Mets rant that I just went on, I've done that 1,000 times about the Red Sox. I'm sick of it. That said, you guys want to take a wild guess at Fenway Sports Group's valuation from CNBC in July? How much they're worth now?
Do tell.
Take a wild guess.
$7.2 billion.
$7.2 billion?
Are you serious?
$7.2 billion. $14.2 billion. So I know that's not exactly quote unquote how it works. Just want everyone to know when I talk about this is what I think the Red Sox are gonna do, this is not me saying they're off the hook for not spending. I'm disgusted by the fact that they don't spend. I just don't see a point in talking about it every single episode because that's what we would do. You would get that Mets rant I just did, but it would be about the Red Sox 3 times a week. I don't want to do that. I've already done it plenty. So to tie it together, I don't think they're going to get both Bregman and Alonso. I think they're the favorites for each of those guys. but I think they're going to only wind up with one of them. And that sucks. I don't know if it's going to be enough offensively to go deeper into the playoffs than they did in 2025. It's going to be a little nerve-wracking to see how the team comes together, and it's probably going to be a lot of pressure on the young guys, but we're not there quite yet. So I'll hold out on hope that maybe they surprise us and make a splash. Like they surprised us with the Crochet extension. So I'm coping so hard. And they surprised us with the Roman Anthony extension. So who's to say they won't surprise us again? Please, someone just tell me that there's a shot.
Well, they can afford it.
No, they can easily afford it. I don't know.
That's what's so frustrating.
I think what's even more frustrating is, let's say they bring back Bregman, right? And then they go out, we'll just use Joe Ryan for the sake of the conversation. So let's say they go out, you re-sign Bregman, you trade for Joe Ryan. You really haven't spent money in terms of like equating it to last year. Like I get like the Crochet extension kicks in, you get the bump there, the Roman bump and all that stuff. But you're basically... like you really didn't spend a ton of money. So if that's, you're getting a cost-effective starter for 2 years because you're trading for a guy on a rookie deal. So if with that, you're still not going to spend on an above, like, I forget what the term was, like a complimentary bat.
Jorge Polanco was the example he gave.
Yeah. So if you're not spending for more than that, if you're able to trade for a cost-controlled starter, that it's just straight up, it's not acceptable because they're not spending a ton of money, which they absolutely should be, because you just dumped a $300 million man. So if you're able to do, maybe I'm overthinking this, and this is just something like they are planning on signing a starter because they don't think they'd be able to trade for one, and Bregman. At that point, like, okay, you're throwing money around. Maybe you trade for a second, still more than a complimentary bet. There's no world to me where you can settle for some form of ace, whether it be trade or signing, bringing back Bregman and not getting more than a complimentary bat. You just can't do it. It's not acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I had used the argument at the beginning of the offseason of they extended Crochet, they extended Chapman, they extended Anthony, they extended Campbell since opening day, right? And that was sort of to show that, like, yes, they traded Devers and they decreased they took his salary off the books when they traded Devers. But out of those extensions, the most expensive AAV one, Crochet and Campbell as well, those were signed before they traded Devers. So they signed those without knowing that that money was coming off the books. The only thing that had changed was that they put $13 million of money for 2026 on the books with Chapman, and they put Roman Anthony's AAV. I mean, it's a big contract, don't get me wrong, but it's not like a backbreaker here. So they had been prepared to spend money, right? Like, to me, like, if Devers was still here, then the objectives would be retain Bregman, aka sign the guy you already had, and trade for the starter. Like, that would be it. But because you traded Devers, that 30 home run bat that you got rid of is now, that's an open hole in the lineup that you have to fill.
And you're not going to get no someone around it. You're not getting someone who's better than Devers. There's only a handful of guys who could say that about. So it's going to be a downgrade no matter what, which kind of mean, I mean, you kind of got to start thinking about defense and speed at that point because you got no other options. I do think, and this is not me trying to let the Red Sox off the hook, I do think the biggest offensive quote unquote addition is going to be a full year of Roman Anthony in year two. I'm expecting the world from him. Like, and I'm talking mid 800s OPS, 25-ish home runs, crazy high OBP, very good defense too. It's not hitting, but it's still good. So it's not a great spot to be in. It's not a spot you should be in if you're the Boston Red Sox, relying that much on a 21-year-old kid to carry your offense, but it seems like that's probably the route they're going to take to an extent. Maybe not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Not carry the offense, but be the catalyst of the offense.
Where I keep going with this is if they're going to sign one quote-unquote premium bat, and when we're talking premium bats that the Red Sox are in on, it's Alonso, Schwarber, Bregman, Bichette. Those are the four. They're not in on Bellinger. So those are the four. If they're going to sign one of those four guys and you're not going to get two, it sucks because like I've said on this podcast a million times that this offseason doesn't begin until you re-sign Alex Bregman. But the truth is, if you can only quote-unquote afford, and I put it in quotes because they can afford to sign two premium bats and trade for a starter and be under the second luxury tax line. So I'm never going to accept that they just can't do this. But if they quote-unquote cannot do it, then to me, you almost need to prioritize signing Schwarber or Alonso over Bregman because you need a 30 home run bat in this lineup. And if you re-sign Bregman and then the next move is Jorge Polanco, yeah, like unless it comes from within, and yes, like the Red Sox have guys in Abreu and Anthony, even in if they signed a Bregman and Polanco, like they have guys that are quote unquote capable of hitting 30 home runs, but you won't have someone who's done it before, mm-hmm. or at least has done it recently. Has Bregman gotten 30? He must have gotten 30 early in 19.
Like 2017, 2019.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have a guy that did it last year. You don't have a guy that did it the year before. And to me, you need that in the lineup.
Right. So I don't necessarily agree that you need a like home run guy like that. I think the Blue Jays made it to the World Series without someone like that. I think Vlad gets talked about like he's a 30, 40 home run guy, but he's normally in the high 20s. When we talk about the offense and the concerns we have, do either of you start coming around on the idea of maybe not moving Jarren Duran and having him take more reps in the DH spot? Or are you guys still all in on moving him?
First off, Springer hit 32 home runs this year. And Vlad. So bang.
There you go. So they had one guy with 32 home runs.
That's all I need is one. If you have a change,
you were saying 40. You said 40 earlier. Now you're down to
30. No, I love 40. No, I've been firm on 30.
Okay. That's also coupled with the best defense in the league.
Right.
They put the ball in play better than anyone else. And then in the postseason, they tapped into all of this power that really just surged them. But in the regular season, they were not a home run team per se. But mm-hmm. Sammy, to your point about Duran, I just don't think that any of your outfielders are suited for a DH role.
Why? Duran stinks out there. Why do we say this? He's not good out there.
Because I know I'm going to sound like a broken record here.
Home runs.
I need home runs. And the DH position is where that's supposed to come from, because you can put a big, meaty motherfucker in your DH spot and let him hit 30 home runs. He doesn't need to play defense, doesn't need to run the base as well. That's where your power comes from. DH, first base, sometimes third base, sometimes corner outfield. But DH and first base are the premium power positions, and the Red Sox have not gotten enough power production from those positions.
I think the reason I don't understand your love for the home run is because we have stats like weighted runs created that show us how many runs a player is adding to a team. And it's not just home runs. Like a guy like Duran, and this is not me saying keep Duran, but a guy like Duran, very good offensive player, whether or not he's hitting home runs, he's still getting doubles, triples, creating havoc on the bases. Like, that's not a terrible option for DH. Not my pick. Again, anyone listening, don't old takes expose me and say
terrible.
Say keep Duran. It's not perfect, but it's just not a terrible option. It's better than Yoshida.
So my thing is, there's definitely scenarios where Duran at DH makes sense. The way this roster is constructed is not one of them. This is a roster that strikes out way too much. They rank 28th, 29th in OPS after trading Devers. Like, this is a team that needs power. It needs power. You need home runs. And it's not for lack of quality hitters, because you have Story had a great year. He was awesome. You had Bregman was awesome. Roman, before he got hurt, was awesome. Like, you had all this going for you, and your OPS was still in the fucking trash. This team needs power. That being said, if you had three or four guys hitting 280, 290, and then on top of that, we're not striking out a lot, Yeah, you can live with no power. If you have great defense, good pitching, guys getting on base, Sox are not built like that. This team 1,000% needs a power surge.
It's true. With the strikeouts, like that's the biggest thing is to me, like if you're going to strike out like that, you need to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And that goes for if you're looking at it, the Red Sox as a team, and it goes for if you're looking at players individually. Like if you're going to strike out a ton, I need some sort of power production from you, or you better give me elite defense and speed or something. Like,
yeah,
the way this team is built right now, they strike out too much for a team that was 23rd in home runs after the Rafael Devers trade.
That's a better sales pitch. What Pat just said, and Gordo, what you added on is that they don't, the reason they need a thumper is because they don't do the other things well enough. I can agree with that, but that's why I like the idea of if you get Bregman, good defense at third, good bat, and then you get Okamoto, put him at first base, who's a plus-plus defender, according to scouts, then at least you're boosting the defense as well. Maybe you're not getting that 30-40 home run bat, but you're adding another 225-ish home run bats, and then that would just leave you with, what do you do about DH? You know what they need to do is they need to combine Duran and Yoshida and make the greatest player we've ever seen. Duran that doesn't strike out. I mean, that's basically all Yoshida adds is...
Can I give a take and you guys tell me if it's controversial or not? Because I'm not sure if it is. When it comes to first base, I could give less of a shit about the defense. I don't care. If you hit the home runs, I literally do not care.
It's a plus. As long as you're not like Franchy Cordero over there.
It's not bad. Yeah, of course. I prefer it. Yeah.
I don't mind it. If you're not a great... Pete Alonso's bad defense doesn't faze me at all. It just can't be so bad. Remember when Bobby Dalbec was really struggling, I think, in 22, and it was hurting the team? Like, he missed his foot placement on the bag.
But he also
like
didn't
that
hit.
Can't happen.
He didn't hit either. If he was hitting...
I know, I'm just talking about...
bombs that year, we wouldn't care.
Yeah. I'm just talking defense, though. But if you get a plus-plus guy over there, it's a nice weapon to have. How many big plays did Vlad make in the playoffs at first base? Josh Naylor, too. Another guy. Tons of big plays. Freddie made a few as well, so... It definitely matters, but if there's one position I'm cool with bad defense at, it's first and left.
Yeah, first. It's like if and it goes for anywhere, to be honest with you. Like, yeah, maybe not shortstop and center. Like if you're hitting 35 home runs, but you're playing the worst shortstop defense in the league, like that's not going to cut it. But yeah, first base, like Pete Alonso was one of the worst, at least if you look at the analytics, defenders in the league at first base last year. But that said, you ask any Mets fan, he can pick it with the best of them. And with the Red Sox last year, picking balls was a problem. Like those errors, especially early in the season with Bregman and Story throwing, for whatever reason, they couldn't make the throw to first base. And just not enough of them were scooped. Like, yes, you need those guys making throws. But at the same time, it would be nice to have a guy at first base that can make those picks. And Alonso is that.
You know what's nice? If you're not an elite defender at first base, make it so I don't notice you. It's kind of like a lineman in football. Like you're a good offensive lineman. I feel like I don't notice when the game's happening. I never see them because they're just doing their job and it's not pretty, but they do their job. So that's what I want. If you're not a plus defender, just go under the radar.
Can I give you guys a guy? So the other day, I basically scoured through the list of every single play. Cause I started looking at trade candidates. Like, there's all this buzz that, oh, the Red Sox could sign one of the big bats and then sign one of the big starters and then trade for the other bat. So, I mean, we've been pretty stuck on the fact that the bats in the quote-unquote trade market, and I say quote-unquote because really none of these guys are declared available except for, I guess, the Cardinals guys. And Brendan Donovan maybe should be a guy that gets talked about to the Red Sox more if they were to sign an Alonso or a Schwarber. But they haven't been mentioned nearly at all there. I know Sean McAdam today said that he would do it, but there's been no reported involvement for the Red Sox on Donovan, at least to this point. But I'll give you another name that I like. And this one works for me more so if you sign one of the power guys, but it works with Bregman too. And it's a guy that got traded last year. What would we think about Isak Paredes from Houston? That's the reason I bring him up. The Astros, they traded for Carlos Correa. He's going to play third base. They got Jeremy Peña at shortstop. They've got Christian Walker at first, and they have Altuve at second, the left field. I don't. They could shift him to left field, and then this conversation is moot, but it didn't look like that was working well last year. in theory, they should probably be trying to trade one of Christian Walker or Paredes. Walker, probably their preference, but he's on a bad contract. The reason I like Paredes, you look at the spray chart, and I know we've talked a million times on the podcast about don't give a shit about the spray charts at the Fenway Park overlay. Like, obviously, it's a preference, but it shouldn't be the end-all be-all. But with Paredes, maybe it could be the end-all be-all. And this is a guy who's hit 30 home runs before, was going to hit 30 home runs last year until he got hurt, hit 20 home runs in 102 games, can play third base if they don't bring Bregman back. If they do bring Bregman back, he could probably play some first or DH. That's a guy who could add some power to your lineup. Whether he be the 30 home run guy, I don't know. It would be kind of more like a Taylor Ward addition, a guy who you can't necessarily count on for 30, but could definitely do it and has done it. To me, it's like if you add Alonso for first and Paredes for third, that is some pop into the middle of your lineup to add to Roman Anthony, to add to Willie Abreu, to add to Tristan Casas. Like, that would add to me. It's like if you're not going to get two of the premium free agent bats, that would be the way to spend less money and still get the power you need to be the team that the Red Sox look like they're becoming.
Yeah. Isak Paredes, not a bad player at all. I just, that doesn't do a ton for me. I feel he could actually get exposed at Fenway because of right field. All his home runs, literally all of his home runs are to left field, which is great at Fenway, but it's so extreme that I think pitchers can just attack him and give him nothing inside. And that would just be an issue. And this could be me overthinking it. Just not, doesn't excite me a ton. Not that I would be upset if the Red Sox got Paredes. It's just, I think at that point, I'd rather, you know, like take some of the money off of Wilson Contreras' contract and go for him. At least you're getting some good defense on top of that with him at first base, by the way. He's no longer a catcher. So that could, that gets kind of in the same ilk, though, of a guy who's got pop but isn't that Alonso-type slugger. So, yeah, it's kind of, this is my response to Isak Paredes. It's this sound.
Wilson Contreras' career high in home runs is 24.
But he's also another, a career like 130 OPS plus guy.
No, he's a good hitter, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But he's making a bunch of money. And if we're talking Red Sox adding a big bat and then a secondary bat, like I don't think someone making like the Wilson Contreras contract or the Ketel Marte contract, I don't think that's on the table if they can't bring in another premium salary.
Well, you do Yoshida and then like Password. You attach a prospect to another bad contract, especially one that Heimblum knows. That's how you would attack it. I don't know if it works, but yeah, I don't know. None of these guys, why are we talking about these guys? It's so friggin' frustrating. They should just sign Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman. It's so...
Which they can do, but this is the reality we're being dealt. Like we've.
I'm trying to hold my rage in.
So... the more and more I've kind of sat with this, and if it is in like written in stone that they will not get two premium bats, I think the best outcome, honestly, and I've been thinking about it, is a scenario where Bregman goes and you sign Bregman and trade for like Brendan Donovan.
Wait, hold on. Back up. You said Bregman goes and then you said sign Bregman.
Oh, sorry. Bregman goes, sign Alonso and trade for Brendan Donovan.
See, I agree with that, Pat.
Like, that's, like, best if you're truly getting, like, no matter what, a borderline good bat and an elite bat, I do think that is the best outcome given that scenario.
And that's why it adds a question mark to the whole Bregman thing if you can't get two premium bats, because you do need power. But if you bring Alex Bregman back and you can't sign another, if Alex Bregman comes back and that takes you out on Alonso and Schwarber, like, where are you getting the power from?
Yeah, and that's not a burden you want Roman Anthony to have in his second year coming off of injury, is basically putting all your eggs in the Roman Anthony to hit home runs basket. He'll probably do it. Like, I have no doubt that he'll do it, but that's not what you want to... You don't want to go into opening day with, like, hope. Hope as in, like, things will work out. You should have a very concrete... We have thought this through. We feel very good about this. Not, oh God, we really think he can do it. You can't do that. That's just, it's after the season you just had, you can't afford to do that.
And that's how they've said they're approaching the pitching. So to me, it's like, why would you not approach the offense the same way? Like, I know we have a lot of guys on this team that we believe in. But you're right, Pat, like there should be some level of certainty. That's not to say take opportunities away from guys that you know can do it. But that's that. What it is, it is to say that you shouldn't be counting on guys who have not yet shown that they can be cleanup type power hitters on a playoff team. You shouldn't be putting yourself in a situation where those guys have to do it. Otherwise, you're in the same spot you were last year, where you're striking out a lot, but you're not hitting a lot of home runs, and really just relying on the starting pitching that you're getting from Crochet and the number two and the bullpen to keep these games close.
Thinking about Donovan, another guy where I make a similar noise, like, I do like that he's a sick defender. I'm a big middle infield defense guy. It's just like that keeps Story at shortstop no matter what if he struggles, unless you then want to move Marcelo to short if the same issues come up with Story. We're talking about how Story had poor defense at the end of 2025, by the way, if you weren't totally locked in. He had this weird defensive slump, and we are all still, I mean, I'm still a little bit concerned about it. I don't know how anyone could not be just a bit concerned. So the reason I like Bregman more than Donovan in a vacuum is if those issues happen, Bregman more than the Donovan and Alonso idea is because if those issues happen, if you don't have a good defensive shortstop, we've seen what happens when you have Kike Hernandez out there at shortstop playing like a butcher. It's just a disaster waiting to happen. You can't win the World Series without a solid shortstop defense. Doesn't have to be elite, but that is the most important defensive position on the field, in my opinion. I can't stomach not having a backup plan, because again, we've seen what happens when you don't have a backup plan at short. Kike.
I mean, your eggs are in that basket, though, and it's not like Meyer would still be here. You just have to figure out how you want to handle third base. Has Brendan Donovan played third base?
But that's not a good place to be.
No, it's not.
I'm sure he could.
But you got to figure out the offense first.
It's just so much easier with Bregman in there.
Money.
Everything is so much easier with Bregman in the lineup. And then you just have Marcelo second or short, Story second or short. You know you're getting good defense from Bregman at third base. You know he's going to hit. He just has to stay healthy. And then first base, if it's Alonso and he's not a good defender, you can stomach that. You can live with that. Or you go with Okamoto and you get great defense all around, assuming Story holds up. It's just so much easier with Bregman. That's why every time we talk about the possibilities, I always just defer to going back to him. And I haven't even mentioned the intangibles.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
One kind of question to summarize this. If you could pick one of the two, would you prefer Brendan Donovan and Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman and Wilson Contreras?
I would prefer Alonso and Donovan.
Same.
For sure.
I think I'd like Bregman and Contreras. Contreras also doesn't lock you into a long-term deal, which is nice. Maybe two or three years. So you could pivot after a few years. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And then you reevaluate. See how you're feeling. Maybe Justin Gonzalez is closer to ready by then. You never know. And yeah, defense, too. Good defense. Not that it's that important at first, but.
Broken record, but if they go into the season with Bregman and Wilson Contreras, then I just don't know where you're getting your power from.
Think about it. 20 home run hitters. Guys. Who we expect? We expect 20 home runs. And I don't think home runs are as important as Gordo does. But just if we're going off of you need home runs. I expect Roman to hit 20. Story hit 20 last year. Contreras, I'd expect 20. Bregman, I'd expect 20, as long as he's healthy. Who am I missing?
Abreu.
I'm probably forgetting some.
Willier.
Abreu. I expect 30 from him. He would have hit 30 if he didn't get hurt last year, probably. And then you get another like 15 from Sedan and a few from Narvaez. So you have pop. It's not like you have no home run power. You're not the Dodgers. You're not the Yankees. But you're playing good defense and you're hitting the ball and you're hopefully not striking out too much.
You can't say they're playing good defense. They led the league in errors last year. Like, you're not
right. I don't think the Red Sox in 2025. They led the league in errors, but if you watch the games,
they had
good defenders at premium spots.
But they're not going to be
Narvaez, Zidane.
But they're not going to be this ultra strong defensive team. At least we haven't seen it. I agree, Sammy. Like, that's their potential is there when you have those three in there. But we have the last 3+ years, we have seen they weren't a bad defensive team last year, even though they led the league in errors. I agree, but they're not going to be this super strong defensive stalwart. Like, that's just not who they're going to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have Meyer for a full year, Bregman at third, sure. Story's the one that concerns me, which is bizarre because that was the one thing we were hanging our hats on for years. If he's healthy, you know you're getting good shortstop defense. And now we're like, is his defense still good, Pat?
So the one thing I will say, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Sammy. Of the guys you just listed, you have, pending whatever, Contreras, Bregman, Abreu, Roman. Like, you have these guys who can hit 20 home runs. Willier, maybe 30. How many of those guys that you just listed were hurt this past year at some point? A lot of them. That's the other thing, too, is you need some form of... Pete Alonso plays every game.
So
Pete Alonso
Schwarber
does not miss baseball games. So that, coupled with the power, like, that in and of itself is a valuable asset. Because you have Bregman, who overall has been really healthy, but he does have the quad stuff. He has whatever else. Willier hasn't been the picture of health. Marcelo does not have a perfect bill of health. Roman, he's had the shoulder, he's had the oblique. There's definitely stuff, but like, you need some guaranteed outcomes.
Another Casas, another not the healthiest guy. And that's another guy, by the way, Sammy, that we forgot when 20 plus home runs, guys you could hopefully expect it from. Tristan Casas is another one.
Yeah, hopefully. Here's one, before we move on, one last idea, and this kind of scratches both of our itches, Gordo. This is a guy I've said I'm out on, but here's a scenario where it kind of makes sense. If the Red Sox don't bring back Bregman, what do you think about signing Alonso and then you trade Duran and whatever else to Arizona for Ketel Marte? And then your infield is Alonso at first, Marte at second, Story at short, and Meyer at third. Then you have good defense, you can hit. The money kind of works itself out. Marte's getting paid, but it's not crazy. Diamondbacks certainly would probably want a guy. Certainly, probably. That was bad. Certainly would like a guy like Duran, probably. So,
yeah,
I think it kind of makes sense. It's not. I got this from Just Baseball. So shout out to those guys. They mentioned the trade for Duran and Ketel Marte. So it's a good idea if Bregman doesn't come back, which is a big if.
No, yeah, like I'm all for, like, I'm way, when the Marte thing first dropped, I was wary about it, and I still am, because I still question why the Diamondbacks would have him on the trade market. But that said, in regards to that idea in a nutshell, I just think that if they can do that, then they could just sign Bregman and Alonso. Like, Marte gets paid, what, high teens per year? Bregman, if you give him length, would be like mid-20s. And you just find a way to dump Yoshida maybe to make it work. Like, that's how you get under the second tax. So like, that, it's Marte, the same thing with Contreras. Like, but with Contreras, you could dump Yoshida. With Marte, you're not dumping Yoshida. He's way too good.
Ketel makes, let's see, 2026, he's going to make 16. Then it's 12. Then it's 20. Bizarre. Then 22. Then 22. And then he has a player option for 11.5, age 37 season. So that'd be the bad part. You're locked into Ketel Marte through age 37. And I know he's great. Definitely the best second baseman in baseball. But what are the odds he's still close to that level when he's 37? I would put that pretty low.
I'm more into it than I was, but it's still not like the dream. I'm all over it with Marte. But that, I mean, he is the kind of bat that you'd want for the middle of the order. But I just, like, to me, I don't want him without Bregman. And then
what if it's Marte first?
It doesn't work.
Marte, Roman, Alonso. That'd be sick. But
it'd be great. I just don't think they'd pay for it.
It all sucks. This is all stupid. I don't really love any of these ideas. Just sign Bregman and sign Alonso. It's so painfully simple. And I hate that we have to talk about Isak Paredes and Wilson Contreras, because we know the Red Sox are not going to sign the two obvious guys that fit the best and make the team the best for whatever reason. $14 billion.
I like Isak. I think he'd be good. If you sign a power bat and Isak, you got a lot of pop. If you sign Bregman and Isak, there's an avenue for it. I think he'd be a good fit, and he could realistically get traded.
Isak. Is it definitely pronounced Isak?
Yeah.
It is, in fact, Isak. Much like it is Louis Robert.
That would mean that it's not Isak.
I know. It is Isak, though. I know that for a fact.
No nickname. Bad sign.
I love the pronunciation thing on Baseball Reference. It's the letter E dash sock, like the sock on your foot. Paredes.
Paredes.
Sock.
Yeah, he just doesn't inspire excitement in my heart. He's good. No. I'm not saying he's not good. It's just
he doesn't. I get it. He does not. He doesn't get your blood boiling like Pete Alonso.
He's been on three teams in 3 years, too. It's a bit of a red flag for me. He has gotten MVP votes in 2023. Look at that.
How many home runs he hit that year?
That was his one, 31 and 98 RBIs with an 840 OPS and a 130 OPS plus. God damn. And then back down to earth the next year with 19 home runs. And
it was good last year, though, in the ballpark that suited him.
He was really good last year. Yeah. But Houston doesn't have that extreme right field like Fenway does that pitchers could take.
They still would pitch him that. Like, they wouldn't pitch him any differently at Fenway than they would at Houston.
So frustrating that we're talking about Isak Paredes and Wilson Contreras and why. Every year.
All right, let's go to enough said before we get out of here. I can go first. Shout out to Garrett Whitlock, who's going to be pitching for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. Red Sox haven't had, in at least the last two, I don't know who the last Red Sox player to be in the WBC was, but
well, Durant. For Team USA, you mean Team USA?
Oh, yeah, it's true. For Team USA, you're right. Oh. Yeah, of course, they had guys. For Team USA, I know Pedroia, Veritek did it. There's others, but whatever. Shout out to Whitlock, because that'll be cool. Because, like, obviously, cool to watch Red Sox players in the WBC when they're playing for other teams, but I want to root for Team USA. I want to root for Red Sox players. Glad I can do both with Whit. Super cool for him.
Yeah, I love when our super important relievers throw extra innings. It's awesome. So, anyway.
Have a heart. I'll go. Have a heart.
Dude, I could not.
It's a
not
game.
I love watching the WBC. I couldn't give a fuck about who wins. I don't care. Dude. I'm just watching the games. I don't want any Red Sox players participating. All I care about is the Red Sox. I have no connection to Team USA. That's my pick. If I could pick who, sure, Team USA. I won't be heartbroken. I like Dominican. They're cool.
Give me your noise that you'll make if and when Garrett Crochet commits to Team USA.
If Garrett, I will throw up projectile vomit.
He's playing.
I will be absolutely sick unless they put him on some program where he's pitching as much as he would in spring training. Then it's fine.
Probably happening. He's probably going to do it.
I think, I think him and Roman Anthony are like both projected to play.
Roman's fine. He's 21. I just don't, it's mostly the pitchers. I don't want extra, especially Crochet, who just destroyed his career high, blew right by it. And now we want him to pitch high leverage innings in the WBC for Team USA. No thanks. You're a Red Sox.
Dude, top three of the U.S. rotation being Scoobal, Crochet, and Skeens.
Just don't get hurt.
Don't jump after you win. That's no jumping.
Oh, yeah. Edwin Diaz. I forgot about that.
I'm just going to root for whichever team has Red Sox pitchers. I'm going to root for them to get eliminated ASAP. Just get back to the Red Sox. Get back to spring training. World Series, 3,000 times more important than... who even won last time? Oh, Japan.
Ohtani struck out Trout. Ohtani struck out Trout. That was like baseball cinema, dude.
Whoa. Great.
Dude, I get so into the WBC. I fucking love the WBC.
I like it too. I just don't care who wins.
Oh,
I don't care.
Dude, no.
I just want to watch good games.
I love Team USA, baby. Yeah.
I'm not as patriotic as you guys. All right. I'll go. I had a awful moment today. Just the stuff of nightmares. Go to a bar. Buffs. Shut up, Buffs. Cool bar.
Oh, that's right where I live. You are walking distance from my place.
You're not invited. No, I'm just kidding. You're invited. Going to Buffs. And first thing I see, Coop, our old producer, I'm like, oh my God, Coop is right there. So we're in the bar. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go over there. I go up to the table and I go, what's up, meh? Not Coop. It wasn't Coop. Mm. It was some guy I've never seen who looked just like him from like 15 feet away. Mm. And the guy just goes, hey. And I said nothing. I just walked away.
Oh,
and I go back to my friends. Ooh. And I, dude. It was awful. He was on the other side of the bar. Thank God. It was so awkward. The guy looked exactly like Coop in my defense. And I also got new contact lens prescription that has not come in yet. So my vision's like good, but not great. Not a fun moment. So uncomfortable. I kept looking over my shoulder to see if that guy was still there. He finally left at like halftime. Thank God.
You got to explain yourself, Sammy. You can't just walk away. That makes it so much worse. You got to be like, oh, you look just like my friend. Sorry. Ugh. And then
don't want to interact with him at all. Just pretend it never happened. This guy doesn't exist. I don't exist. I'm goodbye.
See, that's my plan, is to make myself quote unquote stand out so I don't get mistaken for anybody. You're gonna see the giant fro of hair and all that.
Yeah, the new mustache. The Peyton Tully off-season stash.
Anyway, yeah, I totally embarrassed myself in front of some random stranger. I hope he's a Playtesty listener. If you are, sorry.
Pat, you got anything?
Yeah, I do. I always love I live for the underrated stats that like just somehow go under the radar. You're like, wait, what? Like the perfect example is like Corey Seager had, I think it was a 6 WAR season this year in like 100 games. You're like, wait, what? How does that happen? How is no one talking about this? Whatever. We're all Patriots fans. We saw what Myles Garrett did to the Patriots. Everyone in the league knows how good Myles Garrett is. Myles Garrett had 3 sacks today. He's up to 18 sacks through 11 games. The record's 22.5. He's going to blow past that.
Yeah.
That's Madden numbers. Like, that's better than every season of TJ Watt. Well, I guess he'd break TJ Watt's record, but like, he is that good. He is like first ballot Hall of Fame good. And somehow everyone's talking about him, and I feel like he's still under talked about in like the landscape of football. It's insane.
He's like Ohtani in that it looks like he's playing in a different league than
it's
everyone else.
Boring, it's how good.
Crazy
he is
to watch.
Joe,
you know what it is though, Pat, is because he's in the black hole known as Cleveland, and he's stuck there with that bum ass franchise. Why no one talks about him, because they can't fucking win.
He could have left.
Another Ohtani comp. When he was on the Angels, he got like 1/8 the amount of shine, and now he's on the cover of everything baseball related. So, got to get Myles Garrett to the Dodgers.
Could have been 10-2, Miles. Could have been 10-2 in New England, living your best life.
I also hate people giving him crap for taking the money. It's football. His career could be over in the blink of an eye if he gets a crazy injury. You have to take the money when it's offered to in football. It's different in baseball, unless you're a pitcher.
He did say he wanted a trade, though. He wanted a trade, and he went back on his word.
Take the money. But I don't want to see you bitching on the sideline when the Cleveland Browns are bad. You took their money, so you know what you're getting yourself into.
Oh, nope. Challenge flag. He took the money, and he wants the team to be good. He should be upset. If he wasn't upset, I would be even more mad if I were a Browns fan. I'd be like, he just took his money. He doesn't care. And now it's like, oh, you took the money and you do care? Fuck you. You should not care. I reject that whole premise.
No,
he should be upset.
Be upset, but don't throw hissy fits on the sideline in front of the cameras to show the world that you hate your team. Like, take the money.
Pissed.
He should be pissed, but there's constructive ways to handle that rather than throwing fits like Odell Beckham on the sideline.
Yeah.
He could have made the money elsewhere. Like, he probably would get the same amount if he was traded elsewhere.
He would have had to like fight through holdouts and stuff, but he would have gotten it. I agree with you.
How much does he make?
Dude, so much. Like 40 million a year.
Yeah, you can't be like, you could have gotten that elsewhere if you held out. You want him to take that risk? You want him to turn down generational wealth? No way. I I like that he's upset that his team stinks. He should be, but I agree with you, Gordo. Don't throw a fit on the sideline. That's childish. Be angry, but like an adult.
Take it out on the quarterback.
$123.5 million guaranteed.
Oh my God. That's crazy for football. A non-quarterback.
And we're talking about the Red Sox hopefully signing multiple guys to more guaranteed money than Myles Garrett. That's the difference between these sports. But that's going to do it. Yeah, we'll wrap it there for episode 287 of Play Tessie. Thank you guys for tuning in. But remember to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Leave a comment. Tell us who you like better, Wilson Contreras or Isak Paredes. Tell us on social media. You can see us all the platforms at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You know the drill. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.